Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for that, Denver. glad to be here. Couldn't wait to get on today. So I'm finally on the air, and I'm so happy. I've got something on my screen that says our engineers are working on a solution for the audio file issue. I didn't know that there was an audio file issue. In the meantime, it's yet a quick fix to delete your browser cookies and clear the browser something or other. All I know, this is internet radio. So if it's internet, if anything that's internet related, you can always have technical problems. There's always a chance of the internet just going down, you know. And I know you guys out there, you know about internet problems, okay? So let's hope nothing goes on with the internet. It seemed to be okay. I can hear myself pretty good in the in my earphones here, so. You know, let's hope nothing, no technical difficulties happen, but who knows what can happen. So I'm getting you ready for that. It's saying something that this could, something could happen. I don't know. Maybe not. Well, anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, beautiful Chicago. It's gray outside, but it's pretty decent. It's about 60 degrees. I'm near the lake, so it's not summer-like weather, and it's not totally spring weather, but hey, wow, we woke up this morning, we should be blessed for that. And maybe, I think they're saying something like in the 80s tomorrow. That'll be great. That'll be wonderful. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from beautiful, wonderful Chicago. This is a great city. Don't think anything less of the city because of the crime. Crime is everywhere, but we're working on that. We're working on it because, you know, it is a serious issue in this town and all around the U.S. So George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, thank you very much. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. You know, I mean, check out my e-books on Amazon and all that kind of thing. And let's see what we got today. Let's see what we're going to do. My guest today is author, super success coach, Deborah Riley. She is a special guest, Magnus. She is a special guest, okay? And we're waiting for her. It looks like she may be already on, but we'll get to that call in a minute. Okay, hold on. Let me see what we got here. Okay. Some things in the news. This is Anything Goes Friday. It means you can call in, or listen, sit back, and talk about anything that you want. You know, it's up to you. Anything goes Friday. But this show is a show where you can always participate, and that's what it's all about. Okay, let me try and bring her in onto the show. Let me see what we can do. All right, here we go. Are you there, caller?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Great. It's wonderful. Yeah, I can hear you very well.
Yay.
You're coming in. I mean, some guests don't come in, do not come in as clear as you do, but you're coming in very clear. And as I was saying a little,
Go ahead.
As I was saying earlier, I think that, how's the weather you're having there?
Ooh, I'm here in Pittsburgh, and we just had some storms go through, and my home office overlooks the city of Pittsburgh, which is also a beautiful city. Yeah. So I'm looking right at PNC Park, where the Pirates play. Yay.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I'm sitting near my office, and I have this great big window in front of me. I'm looking dead down onto the a boulevard here, and people are going here and there. It's just wonderful. It's very nice.
Yeah.
So let me read your biography to the people who are listening, all right?
All right.
Deborah Riley Magnus is an author and an author success coach. She has a 27-year professional background in marketing, advertising, and public relations as a writer for print, television, and radio. She writes fiction and nonfiction. Since 2010, she has two novels released. In 2013, in her nonfiction, Finding Author Success, second edition, and Cross Marketing Magic for Authors were released. Her newest book, released through Motivational Press, entitled Right Brain, Left Brain, focuses on bridging the gap between the creative writer and the marketing author. I don't have my glasses on. I should have my glasses on.
Busted.
Everything is blurry, kind of. But Deborah produces several pieces monthly for various websites and online publications. She writes an author industry blog and teaches online and live workshops as the author success coach. She belongs to several writing and professional organizations. Deborah lives on the both East Coast and West Coast of the United States and has traveled the country widely. She's a native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and recently returned after living in Los Angeles, California for several years. Okay, let me read a review of the book. A positive review.
Oh, good.
I recently enjoyed this book. I really enjoyed this book. It was interesting, dramatic, funny, sweet, exciting, a page turner. I really don't enjoy the typical vampire story, but this was so much more than that. Very entertaining, a great book for vacationing reading. Seriously, when will the next book in the series be ready? You have a question already. When will the next book be ready?
Well, you know, that is my fiction, which is kind of fun and a little crazy, and originated when I lived in Los Angeles, because it's a very strange place, Los Angeles. I don't know if you've been there, but it's full of very odd things.
I haven't been there.
Okay, well, you know, it's really beautiful.
I was going to say I haven't been there, but I do have relatives that live there.
Ah, yeah. So, well, they have earthquakes there, so that's a little scary. But
that's,
you know,
one of the reasons why.
Yeah. But I was living there when the idea for this particular series, the Twice Baked Vampire series, came to me, and I thought, this is a really cool idea, and I want to do something different, because at that moment, I didn't like vampires. I thought, boy, why is this so big and so popular? And when I wrote the Twice Baked Vampire series and started working on it, I discovered there's a lot of things you can do, and just because Anne Rice says, you know, vampires flake away and die, does not mean that. For the Twice Baked Vampire series, the most interesting thing about it is that this poor vampire dies on page 5. I mean, he gets a second chance to earn heaven, and he has to live out purgatory in a West Hollywood warehouse with a whole bunch of other dead supernaturals. And it's just this fun exploration of good and evil and how, you know, how we see the supernatural and how we play with it. It's really kind of a fun series. The other book, Right Brain, Left Brain, which is about marketing, is totally inspired also by when I lived in Los Angeles, because I had connected with so many other writers who were struggling to become authors. And the first thing I discovered is none of them either understood or felt comfortable with marketing. So it was my goal to help people kind of bridge that gap, understand that marketing is creative, and there's no reason why they cannot sell well. Every author can sell well. So, you know, those are like two sides of the coin for me. You know, the fiction writing, which is always a fantasy, always fun, always toys with heaven and hell, always toys with, you know, what's good and what's evil and how much fun can you have with it. And then the very practical, you know, how can I help people? And, you know, it's been an absolute beautiful journey to be able to work with so many authors all over the country. You know, go ahead.
You sound like you're having fun doing all of that.
I am, and I'm old, you know.
So am I.
I know. We should have fun.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got, I believe you got four other books. Finding Author Success. Three? Okay. Finding Author Success, Right Brain,
yes.
Left Brain.
Yes, and
Magic
Cross-Marketing
of Authors.
Magic for Authors. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is, writing about vampires, you took that was a departure from what you usually write about.
Yeah, yeah. You know, everybody wants to have fun. 2 years ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I just woke up one day and says, wait a minute, you know, there's a fun side to life. Let's enjoy life. And the Twice Baked Vampire series is scheduled for 5 books. Monkey Jump is the second book. It comes out actually in September, and we're hoping Monkey Jump, yes. And we're hoping to release the third book, which is called Amsterdammed, sometime in the beginning of, you know, in the first quarter of next year. But I have another whole series, you know, of very odd, fantastical, fun, you know, kind of like angels in heaven interacting with people and these crazy things happen. And, you know, that series I'm hoping to, you know, get into a publisher's hands soon as well. So it is a departure and a good reason, you know.
Okay. All right. What is the difference between a vampire and a zombie?
Oh, God.
Is it correlated or are they together?
I weird questions. Truthfully, I am not a zombie expert, but as I understand it, zombies they're dead and they have this flesh-eating need, but they're not mentally altogether, where vampires may, according to what I write, because like I said, if Anne Rice says one thing, I could say another thing, you know, vampires in my mind. Yeah, well, they retain their intellect, they retain some of their personality, and, you know, the only difference is now they can't hang out during the day, and they have to drink blood,
wow.
You know.
Yeah,
and, what happens to Gabriel Strickland in Golden, California, which is basically he is at a Cubs baseball game, and it's a broken bat foul, and the bat spears him, and he's dead, okay? And he's been a vampire for 80 years, and he's perfectly happy to be gone, but then he wakes up on the corner of Hollywood and Vine and realizes he has to live out purgatory like a human without his powers, but he has to earn his way into heaven because few supernaturals are chosen. So I created this entire strange world huddled underneath the strangeness of L.A., you know,
I,
it's a lot of fun.
Vampires. I mean, I love the movies. Twilight and all that kind of stuff, you know. But, you know, so why has the world gone vampire crazy? Because I love
them. Cyclical. It really is. It's like anything else in the world. And, you know, I was writing very literary things, and I had submitted, years and years ago, I submitted to Robert Morrison, and the agent actually called me and said, this is pretty good, but nobody in their right mind is going to publish a first-time author with, you know, no experience in a literary, you know, category.
Yeah.
He said, look around, see what people are reading, and write that. And I was kind of irritated at first, and I thought, wait a minute, I spent my whole life in marketing. You look for the niche, and you look for where the buying is going on, and that's what you do. And at that time, Charlaine Harris had written the True Blood series, the Southern Vampire series, and Alan Ball had picked it up and done the whole True Blood series on HBO, and it just went through the roof. And then I thought it's dying again because, you know, you had less and less. But now with Vampire Diaries, and it's just starting to come back. I think that the vampire genre, just like vampires, is kind of immortal, you know? It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, because I think when the craze first began was a few years ago, and I was just all up. I mean, I couldn't watch or read anything without a vampire in it.
And they were all blood-sucking mean things, too, you know?
I even went out and bought some video games so I can just pow, shoot them down. But, you know, I really loved zombies for some reason, and I don't know why. You know,
I don't understand zombies. So, but there's a major difference. I think that the coolest thing about these kind of fantasies, and you know, you follow me on Facebook too, and I ask a question every day, and I try to pull information from authors about how they approach fantasy or how they approach world building or how they deal with, you know, writer's block or whatever. But basically. You know, yeah, I mean, fantasy in general it's looking for finding humanity in the middle of this thing. And when I wrote my vampire, he had to be done with the sucking blood stuff because I don't like that, you know? There are other vampires he has to deal with who still are alive and doing that. But, you know, I wanted to write a different kind of story. And that review that you had read, you know, that woman had written to me directly, too. And, you know, she was really sweet. She said, this is really cool. Can I tell you that I really love this? And, you know, because I wanted something that made everybody think about a vampire differently, you know.
And
I think zombies. Yeah, I think zombies, a lot of zombie approaches are just horror stuff. But a lot of them are looking for humanity. They're looking for something in there. And, you know, and I think that's the attraction. And not that we're all bored with real life, but, you know, there's supernatural things going on all around us. There's ghosts and there's, you know, I just moved into a house built in 1920, and I don't want to even tell you what's going on here, you know. But there's things that exist.
Yeah. Yeah. I downloaded your book, and I've read parts of it, and it is, I think it's greatly formatted. I think it's got a lot of dialogue in it, and that gets me. And it's a total page turner.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, it
is. So
it is. I think it's a great book. I think the cover. Did you have any input on the cover design?
Actually, I got really, really lucky because I live with a friend, and you know, I'm an old lady who wants to live alone, divorced old lady, and she's a divorced old lady, so we kind of live together. But she's but she's also an artist. She does all of my websites, and she had designed the cover so that when I had gone to, and I was, you know, pitched and finally was signed by the publisher, they says, okay, what do you want on your cover? I says, what do you think of these, you know? And we had covers already for the first two that we liked. I figured they'll have their artists do it. But, you know, I had a lot of input in this one. Some covers you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right Brain, Left Brain, I didn't, and I thought it was beautiful. You know, I
think
was really
all
happy with that one.
Yeah,
they are cool, aren't they?
They are cool. They are really, really cool. That's why I asked you, did you have any input in that particular cover? Because it's a good cover.
I'm a strong personality. I mean, I don't fight with people, and I try to keep peace all the time. But, you know, if I say, I got this really cool cover for you to look at, can you recreate this and do you like this? Most publishers will think, cha-ching, I don't have to pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
And other publishers are like, okay, you know, we'll pay for it, but, you know, we're going to change it. And I'm like, okay, but I want to see what you do. So I'm pretty, I mean, I owned an advertising agency for years, and I'm used to being able to have input on things like that. I think if I didn't have input, I might not be happy.
Yeah, you should. If you're writing it, you should have some sort of say into it.
Yeah.
What has been the toughest criticism given to you as an author? What has been the best compliment?
I think the toughest criticism was a long, long time ago when I had first started, and it was kind of an unjustified unkindness, and I have by no stretch of the imagination criticism of any part of this industry. Okay, I respect it all. I respect self-publishing authors. I expect that process. I respect literary agents, the whole nine yards. But when I was pitching Cold in California several years ago, and I first started pitching it, it was the kind of thing where all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got a rejection letter, and I'm really careful about how I write, because I teach authors how to write queries. So I know my queries are spot on.
I
got a response from a publisher that just said, not for me, so go away. Honest to God, those words.
Wow.
And it came via her cell phone. And I was kind of offended by that, and I thought it was extremely unprofessional. You know,
you're not
but
alone.
But I mean, I have hundreds of rejections that were not very nice. But 2 days later, she sent me another email with a different book title in the subject area, and she said, not interested, don't pitch me again. And another not-so-nice approach, and I wrote back, I said, I'm really sorry, but this isn't my book. You may want to inform somebody else. You know, she says, yeah, I meant your book. Consider yourself rejected twice.
Wow.
And I have that one up on my wall.
I mean, you can't get over it. You just got nasty people in the world.
I know.
You know?
And it's
I've been rejected, too. And
I
just give
times.
I've been 400, five times, literary agents, publishers, you know.
Yeah.
But I got over it.
You do. You have to, because, you know, you know what your value is and you know what you're doing. And we all know we get better with every book we write. You know, we all know it and we all strive for it. And, you know, the industry is changing so quickly and it's in such flux and it's so crazy and it's paying for those insane six-figure advances they gave, you know, two decades ago. And now they're giving no advances or little advances. And, you know, it's almost... It's almost a circus, and it's a really hard place to navigate, you know. And because I coach authors who are published by HarperCollins and authors who self-publish, authors who do picture books and authors who are poets, you know, because I coach these people on how to market and expose their work and themselves, you know, I have to really look and watch this quaking landscape. It's a very interesting place. So, you know, it's a discouraging place because there are still writers out there who think, man, I'm going to sell this and, you know, if Simon & Schuster is going to pick it up and I'm going to be a millionaire. And you just want to take them.
It doesn't happen that way.
I know. You want to hug them and say, you poor dear.
It doesn't happen. Do you have an excerpt you'd like to read from the book?
No, actually, I don't read well, and I no, thank you. But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, wow, you're a great writer. In order to be a writer, you gotta be a reader, don't you think?
I can, I know, and it's just one of those little things. I think that, you know, since I was a little kid in school, you know, and you read and you got yelled at, and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. So I don't do that.
Stand up in front of the class, you have to read and stuff like that, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, do you ever dream about this particular book, Cold in California, becoming a movie one day? Somebody pick it up?
Yes,
Hollywood?
I do, actually. I didn't think of it originally because I thought, oh, well, the world's going to get real sick and tired of vampires quickly. But, you know, the more I look at it and the more opportunities become available to authors, I have a lot of authors who have gotten involved in things like Trigger Street. I'm not sure if you know what that is, but Trigger Street is a organization created by Kevin Spacey. And and you join for free and you learn how to write a screenplay, and he has found some gems in there and produced films from there. You know, so there's kind of like these really cool opportunities available. So I think, why not? You know, why not?
Yeah,
I think it's a good story.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things that all authors dream about, their book becoming, you know, a Hollywood blockbuster, you know. So
hey,
even
I'd be happy for a little HBO, you know. I mean, I'm not asking for a lot. I just want people to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will because it's a great written book, and I think people should buy it. Where can people go find it?
It is on Amazon right now. She has it on Amazon exclusively. In fact, next week, I'm glad that we're talking. The 9th, 10th, and 11th, it's 99 cents. And then after that, it goes back up. You know, but it's only on Amazon. It's called Cold in California. Mm-hmm. And 99 cents, the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Yeah, I think that's a great deal on this book because, like I said, I've downloaded and so far I've read portions of it. And I'm going to go back and read the rest of it because it's very, very engaging. It's enticing. I mean, and it's a page-turner. It's not your, like you said at the beginning of the show, it's not your typical vampire book.
Yeah, it's not. And when readers do get their hands on it, they're kind of baffled, like, what is this? You know? And that was my goal from the beginning, to, you know, make people go,
people.
Huh?
But I think, like I said, like I said before, it's a great book. It's a wonderful book. Like, I don't do many vampire books, but
I appreciate it.
You know, I mean, I know good work when I, you know, see it and
yes,
read it
do.
And stuff like that. Yeah. Okay, what advice do you have for aspiring writers who want to write in this genre?
Do your homework. You know, even if it's fantasy, you have to be clear and you have to be realistic. I find that the biggest problem with authors is when they're trying to be super duper creative, they become obscure in what they're trying to tell you so that you don't understand it. All fantasy has to be based in reality. You know, it has to be something the reader can identify with. The second part of it, and, you know, this leads back to my other side of my life. While you're writing that book, look for the unique hooks in it because every book has something in it. If your book has a dog that does something amazing in it, you have a huge audience you may not even be tapping into. You know, you should be holding your book signing, you know, events at a pet store, and you should be, you know, connecting with charities that relate to dogs. And, you know, look for your unique hooks while you're writing them because you could start formulating who your audience is. Because if you can't think there, that wonderful book you're writing is never going to go anywhere. You know, how many beautiful books never sell because, you know, authors don't understand Twitter or don't comprehend that they have to do this or that it's a good thing to do this, you know. I have, in fact, at my Author Success Coach website, which is just theauthorsuccesscoach.com. There's free downloadable 10 tools for author success, 8 magic tools for, you know, cross-marketing magic, 12 marketing, author marketing misconceptions, you know, and they're free and they're downloadable. And that way,
okay.
Yeah, people can get a thought into that. Because if you just think about it a little bit, it's really going to make a big difference.
Yeah, it sounds like it can make a big difference. One more question about the book. Is there, the book Cold in California, are any of the characters based on real life people that you know?
Oh, that is so funny you would ask that. One of the characters is an ex-boss. Well, he's in Monkey
mm-hmm.
Jump as well. He's a soul leader. Need I say more?
Yeah,
he's
I do that
ex-employer.
Sometimes. I'll put people in my little stories or something that, you know, especially if they, mm-hmm. you know, kind of mean and nasty, I'll probably kill them off or something.
Oh, yeah. That's
in my
the fun
story
of it.
Or something. It just, yeah, that's the fun of it. That is the joy of it, and that's what
yeah.
keeps me writing. Because I love writing. I'm going to always do it because I think it's kind of takes away some of the stress. You know,
I think it's vital.
Yeah,
creativity is just vital. For many years, I was a chef. And when I was a chef, I would get up and I would write. I would get up and I'd go to work from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. I was, you know, the executive chef. I was running this country club. And then I would come home at 10 at night, and I'd make a pot of coffee, and I'd write till 4 in the morning, and I'd do it again. You know?
Wow, that's something.
It was just, I couldn't not write, because it just, every minute, every break I got, all I could think about was writing.
I don't know. I mean, when I was working, I work every day, and I couldn't write. I mean, because it was, the job was too stressful. And when I would get home, I'd be too tired and knocked out and stressful to produce anything.
I think what happened to me was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Back then I smoked, and if I didn't smoke, I would have. Because I don't know if you've ever worked in a professional kitchen. I mean, I have several chefs
yeah.
in my family. But when you work mm-hmm. in a professional kitchen, if you don't smoke, you don't get off your feet. You got to take a break. And as a smoker,
wow.
I had to get out, and I had to go out and have a cigarette. And I would try to go out when no one else was out there. And I would sit alone, and dialogue would just start going in my head. And I would literally write the whole night's work while I was having a cigarette, and it was kind of baffling. I couldn't believe that I did that. Of course,
yeah.
that book is not published, but I look at it now, and I'm like, I got to go back and see if I can do something better with that. That's the more literary one,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay. All right. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show with author guest Deborah Riley Magnus. She's talking about her book, discussing her book, Cold in California, which is a great book. You can always pick it up at Amazon.com and other outlets and her website. Okay, I want to ask you one last question.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to add about your book that you haven't done already?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
books.
The biggest thing for me is I mm-hmm. always hope that people will give a new concept a shot, give them a chance,
mm-hmm.
because when I pitch it, I mean, the 25-word pitch for this book is, what happens to a vampire after he dies? Heaven? Hell? Nope. Purgatory in a West Hollywood warehouse. Go figure. And when I tell people that, and I say it that way, they laugh, but then they say, oh, I'm so sick of vampires, or, I've read the vampire books. And I keep thinking, I just give it a chance. Just give it a chance, you know, because it is fun. And my mom loves
yeah.
it. Don't
yeah.
all our moms
and,
love everything we do.
And I can tell that you've had lots of fun writing it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what writing should be, fun. Whether it's fiction or nonfiction or whatever you do, it should be fun. If
mm-hmm.
it wasn't fun for me, I would not do it, you know.
Yeah, and you know, you work hard at it. We all work hard at
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, you know, one of the most brave things anybody can do. Most people who criticize
mm-hmm.
books or mean about it have never written a book. They don't know how hard this can be or how difficult it can be or how desperate you are to just
mm-hmm.
see it through, you know. And I think that, you know, authors deserve more respect than just about anybody I could think of.
I do, too. I always say that authors and writers, we are brothers and sisters in the word. That's my
mm-hmm.
motto on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good one. I'm going to steal it.
You
I
can
like
have
it.
You know, I feel that it's true. You know, I think that is true. And I always try to motivate authors who are a little down on it because a lot of them think that they're going to get rich quick at this. It's not going to happen, you
no.
know. But there's, I'm not saying that there will not be overnight success for maybe one or two people, but
yeah,
majority,
it's rare.
Yeah, it's rare, but a majority of us, it's not going to happen, so. Hey, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so, so
you
much.
Great.
I really enjoyed it.
You were great. You were wonderful.
George I didn't screw up.
No, you did not. I'm the one screwing up. thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope you have a lot of success with the book, and I hope everybody's out there that's listening to the show, go download the book. You say next week it's going to be 99 cents?
Yes, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show. Come back, all right?
Thank you. Oh, I will if you want me. You take care,
all right,
okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Deborah Riley Magnus of, I want to say Facebook, but her book is great. I've read it. I've downloaded it. Check it out. It's wonderful. Okay? All right, I'm going to take a break right here. I'll be right back if I can find the right cue to do. All right. Stay with me. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that gracious introduction, Denver. And there's some things in the news I'm going to talk about. Yeah, this show is the talk of our times, you know, and that's what I do on this show. And we have some great guests on the show. All the time, great guests, wonderful guests. So let's move right along, I'm going, let's move right along, and talk about times, this show, the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network. I'm looking out of the window from my studio office, and it's a beautiful day. It looks like the sun is about to come out. Yeah, I see sunshine. Wow, and it's 6:38 Chicago time, 6:38 p.m., Okay, all righty. Let's move right along. It seems like Dennis Hastert, the former Speaker of the House, Republican, appears that he's in real hot water. He's scalding. This guy is accused of several, at least one or two sexual encounters with boys while he was working at a school as a wrestling coach. Wow, he is really in trouble. You know, he may be going to jail for this. There's a possibility he may be going to jail. Yeah. And the thing about it, Dennis Hastert is from Illinois. He's a politician from Illinois. How many politicians have gone to jail being from Illinois? Too many to count. And after Dennis Hastert, there are going to be more. These politicians, they're crooks. They're corrupt. They're thugs. They're liars. That's what you think. When someone say politician, automatically a criminal and corruption comes to mind. Most politicians, like I said yesterday in the yesterday's show and some of the past shows, most politicians in Washington, in some of these governorships, they do not care diddly squat about the people whom they are supposed to be representing them, the people who put them in office, the people who gave them their jobs, care doodly squat. They walk around in private planes, jet planes, and that we, the taxpayer, have to pay for, driving around town in limousines that we, the taxpayer, have to pay for. They're taking money under the table. They're taking money from rich donors, lying, cheating. The next thing you know, they get caught misusing taxpayer money. They're off to jail. Raping boys, they're off to jail. Raping girls, they're off to jail. Lying, cheating, stealing. What are we going to do with these politicians? Pedophiles, perverts. This is what we are getting in our politicians. We have to do a better job at selecting the people who are going to represent us. We can't keep voting for people who have nice-sounding names, people who are handsome, or people who are just look nice, so we think we're going to, and they sound good. A lot of times, voters get hoodwinked by some guy or some woman who wants to be a politician by the way they look and by how they sound. If a person sounds intelligent or believable, then that's a person you go out and vote for? No. These people are just sucking up to you, lying to you, smiling at you, being nice to you so you can go out there and vote for them. Once they get into office, they're going to turn their back on you. They don't know you. They're making too much money for you to be seen with you. That's the way these guys are, and girls who are running for office, higher office, political office in the United States. Now you take Lindsey Graham. He's one of the presidential candidates that are going to be running for the 2016 presidential election. You think someone is going to vote for this guy? This guy, not because he's gay, who cares about him being gay, but he's an idiot. He made a statement as saying that if we, the Americans, are tired of war, okay, let me repeat that. He said, we, the Americans, whom are tired of wars, do not vote for me. And I quote, we, Americans, I'm quoting, we Americans who do not like wars, he said, don't vote for him. Well, Lindsey Graham, if you're out there and you're listening, I will not vote for you. Don't worry about it. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We just have to learn how. I'm pretty sure there's some skeletons in his backyard. We just haven't learned about them yet, you know. So I'm pretty sure that he's done something wrong, raped some boys or something, some girls. You know, he's another idiot. I mean, how many people are running on the Republican side of the ticket? About 10 of them? Like I said yesterday, a lot of these people they know they're not going to be president. And I'm talking about on the on the Republican side of the aisle. They know they're not going to be president. They're just reaching for name recognition. They want to raise their profile. They want you to get to know them so they can go out and write books, so they can go out and raise their speaking fees. That's all they want. And that's even more money because they can make millions like that. That's why they're on that pedestal of wanting to run for president of the United States, because they know that when that debating starts and that primary starts, they're going to be up there. They're going to be up there on that stage. TV cameras are going to be all in their face, and all of a sudden, we're going to know who those people are, even if they don't win. And some of them know they're not going to win. But like I said, it's all about book fees. It's all about making money going around to these colleges and universities and dictating their fees for speaking. We just have to do a better job at this, of vetting these people who we put in office. Aaron Schock, this representative from Illinois, he's going to jail, even though he resigned his seat as representative, as Illinois' representative. He looks crazy. He's on his way to jail for corruption. Illinois just keeps them coming, boy. Keeps them going to jail, and they should be. And somehow I got a feeling that this governor, the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, I think he's on his way to jail too. It's just a matter of time, because what he's doing to some of these programs, the way he's cutting funding and abusing people and throwing people out of work and throwing people out in the street, closing all these agencies or cutting the money for these agencies where they can't really produce anything or go on, I think some of that stuff may be illegal. Because a lot of these programs are controlled by federal funds. He cannot cut federal funds. He cannot eliminate federal funds because this is coming from the federal government, not the state government. We just have to do a better job at this. Dennis Hastert is on his way to jail. He might be going to jail if someone come forward and being able to prove it. Not just talk about it, but actually prove what he has allegedly, supposedly done. I think he's guilty because he hasn't come out and said anything. I think he's guilty. But anyway, it's awful. It's awful that you vote for these people. You put them in office. And Dennis Hastert, he didn't like Democrats. He worked against Democrats in every shape and form. He passed bills that were against the Democratic values and issues. He didn't like Obama. He didn't like Clinton. He criticized them all. And yet he's the one who may go to jail for corruption and possibly sexual abuse of boys at a school that he was working at as a wrestling coach. And that's something. How can a wrestling coach, I mean, this goes to tell you that you can be anything you want in America. Now, Dennis Hastert was a wrestling coach, and he rose all the way up to be the Speaker of the House of the United States. That's something. A wrestling coach. That tells you, some of you young people out there, that you can be anything you want to be, but don't be corrupt. Don't go corruption on me, all right? You can be anything you want. That's the positiveness that I think comes out of this. Other than the rest of the junk is actual negativity. But he went from a wrestling coach to the Speaker of the House. And maybe he's going to go from there to jail. Who knows? A lot of these buildings around Illinois have taken his name off their Montrose, whatever. And he seemed to be pretty good with that. He seemed to be good with that. But we have to do something in this town. We have to do something about the corruption of politicians, and we have to do something about politicians who want to tear this state apart. And when I say politicians who want to tear this state apart, tear this state down, tear this state into oblivion, it's Bruce Rauner. We have to stop this guy. We have to stop this guy. He cannot cut or eliminate all these programs. He's going to do it by executive order. Because a lot of the things that the Republicans, a lot of the things that the Democrats in the state legislature, Illinois state legislature, try to do and compromise, if they come up with a bill, he has to sign it. And he's not going to sign anything. He's going to reject everything they try to come up with. Because, you know, they're not cutting enough programs for him. They're not hurting enough people for him. He wants the state. I think if he cut money from every state program there is in Illinois, he still wouldn't have enough money to balance his budget. Some lady was saying the other day, maybe if the state is $2 billion in the red, instead of cutting programs, Bruce Rauner should take $2 billion of his own money and balance the budget for the state himself. That's a good idea, but he's not going to do that. Because he's a Republican. He wants to hurt people. And that's what he's doing. Middle-class people. Middle-class people are people who work every day. Middle-class people are people who own a car. They have their own homes or apartment or condo, whatever, you know. And the best thing I can do is say, let's vote for Bernie Sanders. Let's get a movement going. There's people around the country already have, they have movements going to elect Bernie Sanders as president of the United States. Obviously, Elizabeth Warren is not going to run. I don't know if Joe Biden is going to get in the race. These are two of my other favorite people of possibility of being president of the United States. But since we only have Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and O'Malley, you know, Bernie Sanders is my choice. And Hillary Clinton said something pretty good. She wants to reform voting rights in this country because she knows that, which, and I agree with her, Republicans are trying to stifle the vote. They are trying to stop people from voting. Why? Because there's more of us than there are of them. So they're going to try and stop people from voting like they did 2 or 3 years ago. But it didn't work because Obama won anyway. 2012, November 2012 election. He won anyway, but they were doing their best to try and stop people. There were long lines everywhere. That is their mantra, is to stop people from voting in 2016. We cannot let that happen. But they're going to do everything they can. Chris Christie, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, and many, many other Republican voters, they're coming up with some kind of strategy as we speak to try to cheat and take this election in 2016. You don't have to believe me. Research it for yourself. George Bush was never supposed to be president. Everybody knows that Florida gave George Bush the election. They cheated. If there was no George Bush, there would have never been an Iraq or an Afghanistan. Because the Republicans, they like wars. Just like I got through telling you about Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham said, and I quote, "If you're afraid of wars, then don't vote for me." I mean, how dumb can you be? If you're running for president, you're going to tell people not to vote for you. And you're also saying, once you get into office, you're going to start a war. I don't know how many of you seen that, but it's out there. It's totally out there that the Republicans wants to start a war. And that goes for Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, Rick Perry. All of these guys are warmongers. They're warmongers. There's no doubt about it. We're going to have two or three wars if a Republican gets in their office in 2016. So that's why we have to get Bernie Sanders in office. If Bernie Sanders is not the nominee for the President of the United States and it winds up being Hillary Clinton, then I'll hold my nose and vote for Hillary Clinton. She seemed as though she's trying to get a little bit tough. You're going to have to be tough. You're going to have balls to deal with the Republicans' garbage because they're going to throw a lot of it at her and they're going to throw a lot of it at Bernie Sanders. You're going to hear lies, lies, lies. Fox News is going to be livid with the lies that's going to be coming out of Fox News. And their primary audience is going to be people 55 and older. We need young people in this thing. This is a fight. This is a fight for this country. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on the live, broadcasting on the Wilder Network, live from Chicago. And I feel good. I'm all jacked up. You know, I'm all jacked up. And I'm going to be jacked up until we get these Republicans out of the country. That's wishful thinking, okay? Just let me be clear. Not all Republicans are bad. I'm just talking about the ones that basically are in Washington, D.C., and some of these guys that are holding governorships around the country who are trying to stifle the vote, cutting programs, needed programs, busting unions, throwing people out of work, lowering wages. And this is what this TPP is about that Obama loves. And now I'm hearing that Nancy Pelosi, she may be on the bandwagon for this. A few months ago, she said no, she would not support Obama on the TPP. But now she seems like she's changing her mind and heading towards a vote on this terrible trade deal that's going to bust unions, lower wages, employers can fire an employee at will without union representation. I mean, an employer can look at you, and if you're wearing the wrong shoestrings, they can fire you. Nothing said. Nothing said. This is why I say do it for yourself. Stop calling someone else boss. Call yourself boss. Stop giving someone else your talent. Work for yourself. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Stop getting up every morning going to someone else's job. Make preparations to open your own business. Give your time, your effort, your talent, your willpower to no one. Give it to yourself and give it to your family. Working with someone else is not going to get you nowhere. It doesn't matter how good of an employee you are at some of these companies. You could be the best employee there is. You can be the best employee that they have. You can draw in all kind of customers. You can get clients from everywhere. They're drawn to you. But if you don't kiss some ass, you're out the door. Do it for yourself. Stop calling someone else boss. Possible. Start doing things for yourself. You've worked for 10, 20 years. You've got some savings. Take a chance on opening up your own business. There are so many businesses you can open up and you can be successful at it. You just have to you have to know what you want. But whatever you go into, make sure there's a great possibility of profit. And before you let anybody handle your money, you check them out. Because this is a this is a world of scams, cheaters, liars, everybody. You know, I have to do it too. I have to check people out. And if they're not right, if I got an idea or a potential that these guys might be not on the may not be on the same page, I mean something wrong or something, I tell them to, hey, not here, not here. You know, I really have to trust people. If you really try to find someone that you can trust to handle your financial business, if you need someone to help you. Sometimes we need people to help us to handle those things, but you have to go out there and make sure, check their backgrounds, you know, check the company that they're supposed to be from, make sure that they're licensed, you know, for whatever they are trying to do or help you with, or they're going to clean out your bank account, and it's gone. But do it for yourself. Do things for yourself, okay? Open your own business. You're talented, you're young, you're bright, you're smart, you're creative. Open your own business. I understand that some people can't do that. You may not be able to do that right now, but 5 or 10 years from now, you may be able to do it. Just keep your mind on opening up your own business. Keep a one-track mind. You know, keep dreaming, because that's how things come about, is dreaming. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right here. I'm all fired up. My guest was Deborah Riley Magnus, and we were talking about her great book. It's a vampire book. Like I said to her, I don't really do vampire books on the show, but because it was her, my Facebook friend, Deborah Riley Magnus, I did it. I did her book. She did her book, and she was wonderful. She was informative. She sounds just like she sounds like a scholar, a teacher, which is what she is. And I've learned a lot myself. I've learned quite a bit myself just by listening to her. And she's always on Facebook, you know, and that's great, giving advice and stuff like that. And she's a wonderful person. Go get her book, Cold in California. It's definitely on Amazon. Cold in California, Deborah Riley Magnus. She's a great author. She's a super success coach. And, you know, download the show, podcast the show, archive the show. And you can always listen to this show, and you can always listen to her. She sounds good. She sounds sweet. She sounds great. I'm the one who's screwing up. She did a wonderful job. Okay? This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And it's great. I feel good. I'm going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Stay with me. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader, or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/GWilder, or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above, and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always Looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. Okay, I have a question today, a quiz question. I have those questions every time that I'm on the air, and I'm on the air Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 6 p.m. Chicago time, Central Standard Time, CDT time, or just plain old Chicago time, okay? So the smart quiz question for today is, what ocean is on the east coast of the United States? Does anybody know? What ocean is on the east coast of the United States? It's not the Pacific Ocean, okay? So that's kind of a hint. Okay. All right. The jobs report that came out for May is 5.4%. So that's very, very low. I mean, that's good. That means the economy is on track of getting even better. You know, I mean, it's great. It's wonderful. And if you think about it, that's good news for Obama. Yeah, even if he has nothing to do with it, it's under his watch. It's on his watch. So, you know, obviously he's the president of the United States, so it fares good for him. It fares good for him. But you know, this is saying that people are working, and that's a good thing. That is great. People are working. But then again, if you want to get a little negative about these numbers, you can say, the majority of the people who are working at these jobs are getting paid minimum wage. Yeah, they're working for low wages, part-time. You know, there's a lot of people who are still working at McDonald's part-time. You know, the jobs are here, but they're part-time. And then there's, I've heard reports where there are so many job openings around the United States that there are so many people who are not qualified for those jobs, so those jobs go unfilled. Or the employers have to look outside of the United States for talented help. That's not good. That's not good. So, I mean, you can take this job deal with a grain of salt, you know. And I've heard the people who are working, bless their hearts, you know, but do it for yourself, okay? When I say do it for yourself, I mean stop working for someone else if you can. If at all possibility, stop working for someone else. Stop calling someone else boss. Because you're making them rich, and they can fire you at any time they want. Even if you're the best employee that the company has, kissing some butt, you're out of the door in most companies. And that's the truth. So this job report, take it with a grain of salt, because you don't really know how many jobs, like I said, how many jobs are actually full-time jobs and jobs where people can make a living at. People are still protesting $15 an hour, a living wage. How many people in this 5.4% are making a living wage? We don't know. At least I don't know. So I take it with a grain of salt, but I do give credit to Obama. It's down, you know. People are not going to the unemployment office to collect unemployment insurance. That's down, which is good, which is great, which is wonderful. But, you know, it's a lot of people out here who are still suffering. I've known people who have worked part-time jobs, full-time jobs, and the minute they got off work, they headed straight to a shelter because they couldn't afford an apartment. Not even a one-room apartment, not even a studio. They couldn't afford it because things in this city is so expensive. So we need to give people a living wage. And then there are so many people in Chicago living in condos and apartment buildings. So many people are living under the government. That means the government is paying their rent. I like to tell those people, watch out, because we have people out here who wants to cut that, who wants to take that away from you. And then where will you be? On the sidewalk. My thing was that if you can get a job, that way, if the government cuts come, you have some sort of safety net. It is so many young people out here, it's unbelievable, who can't do for themselves or who will not do for themselves. There is a distinction somewhere there. You know, and it's a lot of people out here with mental illness. Yes, totally. Mental illness. So we have to do something for those people. Some people, those people will never work. And the way black people are going to jail in droves, I mean, these prisons are filled up with black people because of the crime. I'm going to do another show on Put the Guns Down. I'm going to do that as soon as I get off the air here and produce that show, Put the Guns Down. I've done Put the Guns Down two or three times before, and if you go archive some of the shows that I've done, you will see that. You will find that out. Because there were, how many people? There was over, I think they said it was over 500 people, 300 people shot during, in the month of May in the city of Chicago. So we have to steal rail at some of these criminals in this city. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. You miss a show here, you miss a lot, and you will. You are listening to the Talk About Time. The Talk About Time. So I'm going to take a little break right here. Stay with me. I think I need a drink of water. Right, I'm back. Okay, here we go. Let me see what. Do. okay, we talked about Lindsey Graham. Anything goes Friday. We can talk about anything you want. It doesn't matter. Nothing's off limits. So we just got through talking about Dennis Hastert. Okay, there's some. I believe there's some violent weather in Denver. So we have to pray for those people who are having violent weather all around the United States. This is the time for tornadoes and twisters and holes and bad weather. And somehow we haven't had spring yet. I mean, we've had a few nice days, but the weather has been shaky and wacky. But that's something we have to deal with. This time in Chicago, this time last year, the weather was in the 90s. Yeah, we were sweating our asses off. But now we are, we got to keep the covers, you know. So this is George Water Jr. with the George Water Jr. Show. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me all the time. I'm on Facebook, Google, LinkedIn. You know, I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. I got 13 more minutes left in this show. It's been fun. It's been great. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy this, and especially my listeners, my guests. You guys make this show. And if you out there just have a little bit of time to call in, my call-in number is 347-857-1762. Okay, if you have time, you want to comment or something. But, you know, if I don't give out my call number, it's right there on your screen. But I understand some people don't have that, so I'm giving them the number out now. So chime in with your feedback. It will be great. It will be wonderful. Okay, the smart quiz question, what ocean is on the east coast of the United States? I think yesterday I had the smart quiz question, which ocean was on the west coast of the United States? It might have been last week or something, but it's there. It's there. It's an easy question. Most of these questions are just, you know, questions about this country. And I'm going to be using these questions, you know, repeatedly, rotate them. But I'll be using them throughout the course of my show in its entirety. Okay, let's see what we can talk about now. Like I said, this is Anything Goes Friday, so talk about anything you want. Minnesota Archdiocese charged with turning the blind eye to sex abuse. Tell us something we don't know. Okay, sister of alleged Dennis Hastert victim reaches out to the media. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that video of her telling the media that Hastert abused her brother. And she came out in 2006. She first said this and spoke to the media in 2006, but the media, you know, didn't believe her because she didn't have proof. But now she's coming out now. So this is her second time coming out saying that Dennis Hastert abused her brother. And I think some other person is coming out, too, going to be talking about this also. So Dennis Hastert is in some deep trouble. But one of the things for sure, his legacy has been, you know, destroyed. I mean, he's finished. The rise and fall of Dennis Hastert, you know. He's a Republican. You know, he hated Democrats, but now he could be on his way to the slammer. Yeah, so, well, really bad news for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, they got LeBron James. I guess they're losing. You know, but we have the Blackhawks. What can I say? We have the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks they're going to play their second game with the Lightning Saturday at 6:15, and I may have to cancel the show because of that, because I want to see the game. If anybody don't think I should cancel the show to watch the Blackhawks and root for the Blackhawks, give me a call. My number is 347-857-62. I'm not really – there was a time when I was not a hockey fan. I just didn't see it for some reason, but I – force myself to watch it and to be a part of it. And you know what? I'm liking it. I really am liking it. My son is liking it. And there's people, you know, all around who were not hockey fans who have become hockey fans because of the winning ways of the Blackhawks. This is a game, hockey is a game where you have to be highly talented. You got to be strong. You got to have a strong sense of mind. Because it's a tiring game. It's an impact game. You know, it's a game where guys can lose their temper and just start swinging sticks, you know. But it is a brutal game. I mean, sometimes, you're wondering when they're going to score. It's a great game. It's a wonderful game. You know, and there's another game that I've grown to like, rugby. I love that. It almost reminds you of football, but it's not football. That's another game. I don't think in the United States that, you know, rugby is really a game that they broadcast over the media, television, you know. But I do believe rugby is going to become a sport in this town, just like football, baseball, basketball, because it's a great sport. It's a great time. And I love watching it. So the media and the powers that be and the sports people out there, George wants rugby in the United States. Okay. All righty, if I said that correctly. Okay, I would like to throw out kudos to the author, Deborah Riley Magnus, for being a special guest on my show. And I am so proud to have had her. Okay, if you want to hear her, download this show, archive it, you know, whatever, and listen to her. She's very, 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 very astute person, a great writer, a wonderful writer. She does not only write vampire books, but she writes books catered to authors and writers. She's also a teacher, as she has said. And I'm just reiterating what she stated on this show. In case you've missed it, you've got it with me. She was great. She was wonderful. I hope there's a lot of sales for her. She got a couple of great reviews for the vampire book. Like I said, I don't do many vampire books, but I did read portions of her book. And it was great. It was wonderful. Like I said before, a lot of dialogue, a lot of talking, a lot of interaction with characters. And that's what drew me to the book. Not basically because it was a vampire book. I think it's one of the best. And it is a little different. There's a twist in there, you know. So you have to read the book, go buy the book. And she said next week it's going to be 99 cents. Hey, so what? I wished it was 99 cents when I purchased it, but it wasn't. But that's okay. That's fine. I got the book and I can read it, and I want you to purchase it, and you go out there and you read it. And if anybody out there wants to be on the George Wilder Jr. Show, just hook me up on Facebook or around the internet. I'm always there, and tell me what your book is, and maybe we can get you booked on this show. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hook me up on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, LinkedIn, follow me all over the place. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago, and this is a beautiful, wonderful city. We're still waiting for spring. You know what I think? I think we're going to get summer before we get spring, and that's because that is what happened in the last 2 or 3 years. We got summer, but we didn't get a spring. Okay. The smart quiz question is, what ocean is on the east coast of the United States? I got maybe a couple more minutes, and we'll get that done. Okay, great, wonderful. I've had fun, and it's been great. We're going to have some more marvelous guests on the show. Stick around for that. Join me tomorrow. Tomorrow is the game, so I'll cancel the show or I'll come on a little later. Maybe, wow. Who knows? Stick around. All right, let's move right along. Let's move right along. We've got about 4 minutes left into the show. I'm going to take a break right here. I will be right back if I can figure out what audio. Let's see what we got here. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said yesterday and some shows back, I think education and healthcare should be education. Someone just whispered in my ear, so kind of interrupted me. Education and healthcare should be free in this country. Totally, totally. Smart quiz question: what ocean is on the east coast of the United States? It's the Atlantic Ocean. We've got the Pacific Ocean on the west coast, and we have the Atlantic Ocean on the east coast of the United States. I got 60 seconds. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you join me tomorrow. I'm hoping to be on tomorrow, but, you know, I might watch the game tomorrow. Check you guys out. Join me later, okay? All right, bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.